Louis Erickson has agreed to a 6-year deal with Vancouver Canucks.
First time in 39 years, the Boston Bruins have won the Stanley Cup.
Center ice, right?
And then he scores!
Baby!
Oh, it's skip past Pucci!
My contract sucks.
Dustin Byfuglien's had a heck of a series, and Chicago in total control.
Yeah, this is all over. You can order the autopsy
now. Fifth selection, Vancouver select from the London Knights, Ole Ulevi.
We choked.
Yo, what's bappin', sports fans? It's Aaron and Stefan back for a premium. Not premium. It's a premium episode because it's an episode that we're doing,
yes.
But it's on the regular feed. It's the regular show for the week.
I mean, every episode is a premium episode.
Yeah, exactly. If you really like put your mind to
right.
it and believe in yourself.
Correct.
You have a good Easter? Good weekend?
I did. I had like horrible allergies. So I couldn't really do anything all weekend, unfortunately. But, you know, relaxed. Took it easy. Yeah, it was. Pretty quiet. How about you?
That was good. We got a new old couch, which is
okay.
good.
My, that's always nice.
My old couch, I got it from my ex-girlfriend and I were moving her into like her old apartment.
Yeah.
And this was like 2013 or so. Mm-hmm. So this is like over 10 years ago. And a guy in the elevator saw us like moving stuff and he was like, hey, you guys want a couch? And we're like, yeah, sure.
Okay.
And then, like, I inherited it when she got deported. And this is really old. Who knows how old it is? Because we got it from a stranger in the apartment elevator.
Right.
And all the springs on my side of the couch had busted.
Ooh.
Like, I don't know if it's due to my fat ass or just the test of time. But I like, couldn't sit facing head on towards the TV. I had to kind of, like, turn 90 degrees so that I was, like, lounging and laying down. Because if I sat straight forward, I was just sitting on like a piece of fucking wood. That was cool.
Okay.
But yeah, my partner, her family was courteous enough to, they didn't have space for it. Well, they kind of had space for it, but they wanted to get rid of this. Oh my God. It's so much nicer. I love it.
Getting a new couch is so good. We got a sectional like 6 months ago and it was a game changer.
Brand new?
Brand new. Yeah.
They're expensive, bro.
They are. It was a sale. It might have been around like Black Friday or something, but it's just like, we had like basically, it was like between a couch and a love seat before. Like it wasn't
okay,
quite big
yeah.
enough to be a couch, but not quite big enough to be a love seat. And it was fine for what it was. But like, if you went to like lay down on it, your feet would like hang over the edge. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's not ideal.
Yeah, so with the sectional, we can both lay down on it.
Oh, that's perfect,
which is good.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
and you can both lay down on it if you want to avoid each other.
Exactly,
but it's also like you can cuddle. It has that
exactly
that capability as well.
Yeah,
yeah, I really wanted a sectional, but I also didn't want to spend $1,500. So that was nice.
Yeah, sectional is good, but. Yeah, it is. This is going to be a couch we're going to have for a while.
Yes. Yeah. The next one will be like the big one. So eventually when I get to Vancouver, like maybe we'll bring this with us. Maybe not. We'll find out, folks. And another really bizarre thing happened to me this weekend. Are you familiar with the TV show The Traitors?
I think I've been seeing ads for it on like Crave or something.
Yes, it's on Crave.
Which, by the way, if you're an American listener and you don't know what Crave is, it's a Canadian streaming service, which you may have guessed from the name.
Crave TV. Yeah, that's very Canadian. That's like Skip the Dishes.
It is. Yeah, I mean, the one that was a classic that they don't have anymore was Show Me,
which
was sort of a precursor to Crave or a Crave competitor. But
no, well, Crave was Telus,
yeah.
And Show Me was Shaw.
Maybe that's what it was, yeah.
And eventually Show Me just died.
Yeah,
because
Crave has way better selection. Crave has HBO, Showtime.
And Showcase.
And Stars, I think,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, Showtime. As the guys dancing in the subway in New York. maybe Epix.
Yeah, it's like basically a bunch of streaming services in one, because we don't have like Max up here, right? So this is basically our version of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, The Traitors, so I keep seeing ads
the
for
Traitors.
On there too. So you, have you been watching? Is it like a reality show or what is it?
It is a reality show. It's like Real Life Among Us, basically.
Okay.
Where it starts with a cast of like 20-odd people, and depending on the season, there's two or three of them that are picked as traitors, and every night they do a murder.
Okay.
Just decide to kill somebody, and that person's booted off the show. And then every episode they do like this round table where they go around and they're like, Stefan, I think you're a traitor. And you're like, no, it's fucking producer Dan, so, obviously.
Yeah, it's just werewolves or mafia or Among Us.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's every episode they do a mission, which is like some sort of physical and or mental challenge where they can earn money to a prize pot. And then at the end, if there's any traitors remaining, they take all the money. But if it's they're called faithful, if they're left, they get to split the money like amongst themselves.
Okay.
And so I started watching the U.S. version, which is, there's two seasons, and they leaned way more into it in the second season, getting like reality show celebrities, but like each season's had a former Bachelor contestant, and there's people from that have won Survivor and won Big Brother, and there's Real Housewives of wherever, like multiple different places, and Below Deck, like basically you name a kind of trashy reality show.
Yeah.
They have their own person.
Okay.
There.
All right.
Dignitary.
Yes.
Right.
Representative.
And then there's some like regular people in there as well. So yeah, if you're like into reality shows, it's great. And so we watched the US version, but Crave TV, hashtag ad, also has UK, Canada, New Zealand and Australia on there as well.
Wow, okay.
The same show. Oh, the other cool thing about this is it takes place in like a castle in Scotland. And so it's like very gothic and it's like over the top with dramatic music. And like they wear like robes and shit like Sun-O when they're killing the guys. So we watched the New Zealand version. A lot more quaint. I guess the famous people there aren't. Well, they're not famous to you or I.
Sure,
it's
sure.
Like the guy that won like best new artist in like the New Zealand style Grammys in like 2016 and like radio presenters and stuff. But one of the guys is this just fabulous model.
Okay.
Who's 51 years old, but like he looks younger than us. He just is like fucking beautiful. There's one challenge where he had to eat it was like a heart, a tongue, and like some like liver. And it looked like Fear Factor stuff. Right,
right. Right.
And it was like one of the last challenges. And he was like, oh, I've put way worse things in my mouth. And then he's like eating it. Doesn't look gross out at all. And is making like direct eye contact with the camera and smiling.
Okay.
Like he's so cool. And the show comes to an end. And I'm like, you know what? I would like to follow his Instagram account.
Okay.
And so I like look up, like, you know, call in New Zealand traders. I follow him on Instagram. And like 5 minutes later, he underneath, so it's like the latest photo he posted from earlier that day.
Yeah.
He just says, hi, Aaron, and then tags me.
What the fuck?
I don't know, man. And I was like, what's up?
That's real.
He liked it.
Does he have like a lot of followers?
Like 10,000, I think.
Okay. That's really strange. That's really interesting. Okay.
Yeah. He's got just under 11,000.
Yeah.
And then I said, what's up? Right.
Yeah.
He says Easter in New Zealand. And so I just left a like and left it there. But that was not expecting that to happen at all. Cause I was like actively watching him on the TV.
Yeah.
And there he is being like, oh, got a new follower.
That's so,
maybe he thought I was a cute, but
that's so funny. I mean, that rocks. Yeah. I've been looking at John Gosselin's Instagram because he's like
who's that?
He was the guy on John and Kate Plus Eight, the husband. If you remember that show with like the octuplets. And he looks insane now, first of all. But second of all, he's like a DJ now. And I've like followed I followed him on Instagram for a while because it's really funny. But, this was a couple of years ago, actually, but he was doing, it's the funniest poster for a show I've ever seen. And it was like Chili's, and he's doing like a Cinco de Mayo show at Chili's.
Yeah.
And it's just like so funny. It's like John Gosselin, DJ John Gosselin's going to be there. And he just looks really bad in the picture. And like, he's got a computer that says like John Gosselin on it. And it'll say like big signs that say DJ John Gosselin behind him. And it's just, it's so good.
It looks like, yeah, he plays at either Chili's or those gentrified Mexican restaurants, yes, where there's neon signs. Yeah. It's like, yeah, this must be the place to be.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's so funny, dude. I'm a big fan of his.
You know he loves to fuck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big fan of his. Any like Outlaw updates or anything? I haven't really checked in on him for a bit.
Not really. There's a leaked video from his Patreon again, which is 23 minutes of him and his accomplice, the guy that feeds him.
Yeah,
Nick.
Yeah.
Nick/Brian, of them assembling a gamer chair.
Oh.
That has, so get, man, I gotta show you this fucking video. It's got LED lights on it, and it's got like a massager, which is just like, it makes the bottom seat vibrate.
Yeah.
And so it means his computer chair has not one, but two like USB hookups that go to like, that plug into an individual like charger on the wall. And it just looks like absolute dog shit. And
probably like a $150 chair he got on Amazon or something.
It was, yeah, like $230.
Yeah.
He has some pretty good lines in it about like his ass and how he needs this for his ass.
Oh.
Pretty awkward. And he's like really bad at, because you don't need two people to assemble a gaming chair,
no,
folks.
No, you certainly don't.
It was really funny because he was talking to his friend like he was his dad and like asking for like, oh yeah, is that right? 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 That goes here, right? but I mean, other than that, not really much going on with Outlaw that I'm aware of.
Yeah. He's so funny, man. I are you, so someone is like subscribed to his Patreon, is getting all the videos or?
Yeah, there's like, I don't actually know who,
yeah,
but it, cause I don't spend a ton of time in like the FYM Discord.
Sure,
I pop my head in every now and then,
right,
but I know people in there are like ironically giving him like,
yeah,
$3 to $5 a month. And then he just uploads his, cause Patreon, a little behind baseball here, yeah, inside baseball.
Inside baseball, yeah.
Yeah, there's, you can upload videos either to YouTube, like as an unlisted video, and just like plunk the link in there and have video that way, or they have their own native video player. And so like,
right,
for our Patreon, oh yeah, that's good. Good little segue. Patreon.com/IHateThisTeam for weekly bonus episodes that includes video if you want to see us sitting around and talking about the Canucks and, New Zealand reality TV.
And
but
Outlaw.
Yeah, and Outlaw. Yeah, so you can just upload it directly to there. So that makes it basically impossible to pirate unless you're doing a screen rip, which is a whole lot of work. Well, kind of. You could just set it and walk away, but whatever. Who cares? Sometimes for like FYM, I do it just through YouTube because,
yeah,
I don't really care if the video gets leaked. And also it's like easier for people to cast on their TV, which,
yeah,
I know a lot of people like doing.
Yeah, because
so,
the Patreon player itself is like not, It's got some issues for sure, I think.
Yeah, it's like good if you're sat at your computer watching,
yeah,
it, but like if you're doing it on your phone, I think it's kind of ass. I don't really consume video through Patreon, so don't really know.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's his reviews of him assembling a computer chair, which, who is that for? Are you like wanting a slice out of Outlaw's life? Because like the only reason
I guess I kind of am.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's not like you're watching this video to learn how to assemble this specific computer chair.
Because, no,
if that was the case, it'd be publicly uploaded. And the other reason you'd watch it is because it's like cringe and bad.
Correct.
Which maybe on some level he recognizes like what his brand is. But then just put on the regular YouTube channel and get yourself 1,200 views, brother.
I don't think anyone really understands what is going on up there, you know? But he's so funny, man.
He rocks.
He's so fucking funny.
Probably talk about the Canucks. Impressions on the game on Sunday against Anaheim.
Well,
I say the Ducks, the Canucks. We should talk about the Canucks and
the Canucks
Ducks.
And the Ducks. I will say this. I posted this in the Discord in like when it was tied 2-2 in the third, I was like, look, not to be dramatic, but if they lose this game, it's like unacceptable.
Yeah.
And it would have been because, like, not only does Anaheim suck ass, they were on the second game of a back to back. Now, granted, they got destroyed by Edmonton and probably didn't try that hard, but come on. Like, that game should not have been close. I mean, did they kind of get goalied again? I think a little bit. Dostal was quite good.
Wee bit. Yeah, he was fine.
They did score, what, 2 power play goals, including one absolutely disgusting one from Dakota Joshua, who I'm sure we'll talk about.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it did feel like, here we go again. You know, like, can we just like please just have a beatdown? Like, when was their last absolute beatdown? Was the Winnipeg game?
Winnipeg game, yeah. Like 2.5 weeks yeah. ago.
And now they have a bit of a tough road trip coming up. You know, so
which is good for them, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So the game against Anaheim, like they'd already clinched a playoff spot, and it's an afternoon game against Anaheim.
It's hard to get like, up for I don't, that, for sure. It was like at 12:30 Pacific in Vancouver, which is very rare, I feel like. But it was a long weekend, I guess. So
yeah, it was like the kids' game. I guess in the arena they were doing like kids versus adults, like cheers when they were flashing the cameras, like if you didn't meet a kid, and all the kids in the audience would cheer, and then the adults, and they obviously wouldn't cheer as loud, and they let's hear it for all the children. So like that was the vibe of the game.
Right.
And yeah, if you're Vancouver, like I say what you will, it's gonna be hard to go in there and give more than like 85%, I think.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that was enough to win.
Yeah. I mean, they got the win, right? They won. So that's kind of that's the thing that matters.
Yeah, like I think it's easy to like look at this stretch of games, or like look at that game in particular.
Yeah.
And be like, oh man, why can't we beat the pants off of Anaheim? Like they suck. We should be good, and get worried about it. But I think contextualizing like what was happening in the game makes it seem less bad. As I was driving home, I was listening to Canucks talk, and Durant brought up a really good point about the like feelings in the market as to what's been going on throughout this homestand. Which that's another thing too. Like, I don't know if you heard JT Miller after the game talking about how he's had like a couple weeks of spring break with the kids and he can't wait for this road trip to start.
Right.
Like he was saying it like tongue in cheek, but
yeah,
like I think a long homestand can also be similarly detrimental as like a long road trip, because you can, you know, oh, you're here for 2 weeks. Like you better start. We're going to paint the living room while you're here type of thing. Right. But no, it's like you look at the beginning of the season and their comparables were like the 84-85 Oilers, right? And so you get these like really high expectations, and they were doing it through like zany Looney Tunes, fucking crazy ass like shooting percentage, save percentage benders, etc., right? And now, like if you look at them since March, where they've been like, you know, over 500, but they'll win a couple, they'll lose a couple. There's I think the false narrative about how they can't beat good teams because they've beaten good teams along the way.
They
but
have, yeah.
When they do beat them, it's been like by a goal or an overtime, etc. But you look underneath the hood, and like we were talking about last week, they've been a top three team in like goals against them. What do we say they were first? Goals against?
I thought they were third. I mean, they're expected up there goals against. Way.
Like, yeah, like they played these stats on the Sunday broadcast, right? Yeah. There was a bunch of underlyings that they've been really, really good at. So if the team were to have started the season like this,
yes,
and you're looking under the hood, the narrative would be like, okay, they've been playing kind of mid, but look at these underlyings. Like, they're going to explode. Yeah. I think now that the playoffs are coming up, it's a lot easier to get anxious about how they've been not exploding.
For sure.
But there's still that potential for them to bust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah. So... Like, yeah, I'm not. My gut watching the game was like, oh, this isn't good. You can't let them get back into it. But then, you know, you sleep on it, you think about it a bit more. It's like, yeah, it's fine.
The 2011 Canucks had multiple games like this throughout the year, right? Where they just looked like they didn't care. And, you know, obviously that's the best team in team history. And we all know how it ended, obviously. But that was a very, very, very good team. And they still slept walk. Through a lot of games, right? So I it's to be expected to an extent, and it sucks to watch because the whole time you're just like, it should be like 7-0. Like, what are they doing, you know? Especially like once Joshua scored the between the legs goal, I was like, oh, this is over for sure. There's no chance they're coming back, right?
That was so gnarly, dude.
That was crazy because he roofed it as well, right? And it's, I believe he's practicing on PP1 today as well, which is...
Yes, so and I guess a note about that is it might just be because Besser left practice for maintenance, which is kind of odd.
Right.
Because usually maintenance is like a thing that you plan. It's not just, oh yeah, I don't... He's doing maintenance now, right?
So. Yeah.
he's probably fighting against something.
Yeah.
Just like Pedersen's probably, you know, has something like upsetting his body too.
Yeah, I
like
mean, clearly everyone,
a nagging injury.
A lot of people are battling a lot of injuries right now. And the playoffs haven't even started, unfortunately.
Which,
but.
Yeah, doesn't instill me with a ton of confidence. But like, if they're good enough to dress in that game against Anaheim, like I'm not losing any sleep over it. Yeah. It's just, I mean, playing a full NHL season is really difficult.
For sure.
Besser almost never does it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised that he might be a little bit hurt. Lindholm is traveling with them on this three-game road trip.
That's good. Okay. It's Vegas.
Demko
it's Vegas,
is not.
LA, Arizona. Is that
Arizona?
It? Okay.
Yeah. Vegas, Arizona, LA.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it's like some amalgamation of those same teams at home afterwards, I believe.
Okay.
Maybe the biggest piece of news, though, is the Canucks have clinched a playoff spot.
Yes, and they clinched it because San Jose beat St. Louis.
Yeah, it was really funny.
Really incredible.
They shut out St. Louis.
Yes, really, really good.
We should probably talk about the t-shirts, the clinched.
Man, I mean, it's just like, it sucks so bad. But at the same time, it's like, I mean, I get it to an extent. Like, the team has been so bad for so long. But come on, like, act like you've been there before. You know what I mean? Like,
it's funny.
It's
if they were doing it on purpose, it's really funny.
Sure, but I don't. They definitely aren't. You know what I mean? Like, they're just
100%, yeah, they're just corny.
They're very, very corny. Unfortunately, but yeah, very funny. If that was on purpose, I do not think that was on purpose. I will say,
yeah, I don't think they're savvy enough. Unfortunately,
no.
Well, maybe now that Faber's there.
Possibly. It just seems like,
but
it's crazy.
Probably not his department, you know?
It's just crazy that no one was like, hey, like, this is a bad idea. Everyone's going to make fun of you for this, right? Like, who in their right mind is buying that shirt? You know what I mean?
And especially, like, I bought one of the Canucks team-made t-shirts this year. I got, like, the Quinn Hughes kind of 90s style shirt that they're selling in the fall. And I think with shipping, it cost me like $57.
Yeah, man.
It's like way too goddamn much.
This one was like $35 or something. Like, I mean, it's not like, just come on. Like, don't, please, no
one.
That's
without shipping. Probably without tax, too.
Yeah, it's just really, really nuts that they thought that was like, no, come on. Don't, please, no one buy that shirt. It just seems like, it's just like big time loser energy, which I understand, because this is a big time loser team, historically speaking. So,
yeah,
it does fit with their sort of style and what they've done in the past. But at the same time, it's like, guys, come on. Like, you don't need to give people more ammo to make fun of us, you know?
Yeah, it's, I think it is important, like, talking about how this is a big time like loser franchise, to point out, like, historically, this is one of their best seasons ever.
Yes.
Like, right now, based on points percentage, it's their third best season.
Yeah.
Even they could lose all the rest of the games, it would still be top 10, which would be very bad. But they're sitting at 100 points right now. And
they've only gotten 100 points like six times, I think, or something.
Was
it six times or nine times? It
was
like
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. This is their 10th.
This is their 10th time. Okay.
Getting 100 points.
All right.
And so they need three more wins to be third all time on this list.
Okay.
And then they would, and they have 8 games to do that. I doubt they're running the table. So like 2011 was 117 points. 2012 was 111.
Okay.
And then the season they're trying to beat is 06-07, which is kind of weird, because I think back on that, and I was, well, I guess Luongo just saved the day that season.
Yeah.
But I didn't think of them as like a big time contender, right? Like, they got rolled by Anaheim in that second round.
Correct. Yeah.
So that's cool. We should be happy that we got to see this, because it doesn't happen all that often.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, this is look, it's a team that has not had that many good years, especially recently. So I'm not saying like don't celebrate the stuff, obviously, but it's like, it's just like,
we're allowed to celebrate.
Exactly.
It. And like, you as the Canucks fan is like, yeah, you should be happy about it. But as the organization, you shouldn't be planning a in the playoffs parade.
No.
And I guess that's just the marketing team, right? Like, I doubt in that locker room they're, you're doing much more than, cheersing after the game.
I think so. I mean, I think they know their job is not done yet. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But yeah, at the same time, like, guys, come on. You gotta it's crazy to me that no one said to them, like, do you not understand what this will look like?
Yeah.
Like, it cannot be worth, like, who is going to buy those shirts, right?
Morons.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people will buy them.
Or irony boys.
Or, like, kids, I guess, you know, like, kids will be, look, I guess, like, from the perspective of, like, if you're, like, a little kid, if you're, like, 12 years old, the Canucks have basically never been good since you've been a fan, right? Even if you're,
which is crazy.
Even if you're, let's say you're like 15 or 16 years old,
and you don't have
memories, and you've been a fan for like 8 years. Like, they've, other than the COVID year, which again, I don't fucking count. That shit doesn't count. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But like, they basically have never been. So this is like, to me, what this is like is when I really, really became a Canucks fan, because I was too young for 94. I was 5, right?
Yeah.
And I definitely like started kind of paying attention to them, like, late 90s when I was getting old enough and I started playing like NHL video games and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. When they brought in the Orca, I remember that was a big moment for me. Yes. I was like, wow, this is cool. I can actually draw it.
Yeah. The first game I ever went to was a game against New Jersey, I think. And it was like right after the McGillney trade, I want to say.
Pretty
soon after that. Anyway. But yeah, around that time I became a fan, and like, that's when they were like, they made the playoffs and got swept by Colorado, right? And then it was Detroit the year mm-hmm. after. And I got like so into it right around then, right? So this is going to be for
You just have to believe.
Yeah, this is going to be for a lot. Like, me and my friends used to, they would come over, my little friends and I, and we would watch the games together, and we'd like order pizza and everything. And like, my dad would be down there watching with us, and we'd go out during intermission and like play street hockey. And then like, go out to like the road and like wave Canucks flags, and cars would honk as they went by. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, this fucking rocks. I've already seen a bunch of car flags, by the way. They're back.
That's awesome.
There is a bit more of a buzz in the city about the team for sure. But yeah, I mean, I think this is what they really needed to like win back. Cause like, they essentially have lost a generation of fans, right? I don't think they want to talk about this, but like,
yeah,
when you think about the last 10 years, like, no self-respecting kid is like, why would they become a Canucks fan? You know?
Yeah. Well, and think about like the power that the Canucks being good was like had on just like hockey in the city of Vancouver, right? With your Bedards, your Celebrinis,
exactly.
And
yeah,
Bensons, etc. Yeah. Even though like not all of them were like diehard Canucks fans, a couple of them are, and like that's important too. I think
for sure,
like it, in a really macro sense.
Oh yeah, so many Canucks fans, so many kids in Vancouver, I should say. In the last 10 years, I guarantee are growing up as Oilers fans, because like, why wouldn't they? If you're a little kid, you can, by the way, if you're a little kid listening to this, don't, because we talk about some grown up stuff on here. But
yeah,
if you are a little kid listening to this, you don't have to be a Canucks fan. You can choose. I would like you to be a Canucks fan if you're from Vancouver, but I don't blame you for, as a little kid, being like, oh, I can just choose whatever team I want to choose, right? Like, I didn't know that when I was a kid.
Even as like an 8 year old, when I had like friends in the schoolyard that were like, I'm an Edmonton, they weren't Oilers fans then. They were Detroit Red Wings
or Colorado
or
Dallas
fans.
Or yeah.
Yeah. You have a weak constitution.
Yeah.
I wasn't using those words, but I felt like you had to cheer to the team for the team that was like geographically closest to where you were born.
I 100% agree, but it is the type of thing where like, I didn't know that as a kid that you could just, I didn't realize you could just be a fan of any team you want.
Yeah.
If you're just starting watching hockey, you don't have to, like, should you be? I think so. I mean, I think it's nice, and I think it's important to be, yeah, support your local team. I think that makes sense. But at the same time, the last 10 years, I don't blame any kid for not cheering.
Especially now, right?
Oh yeah. This is the ideal time. Like, there are going to be some kids watching the playoffs this year who are going to get their heart broken by the team for the first time. And then that's it for them. They're a Canucks fan for life, you know? And it's great. I love
it.
It's going to be fantastic. I'm so like, man, I just keep thinking about like the first time they skate out and they
oh my God. And they're doing the towel power. The towels, I'm going to be so fucking
they
psyched.
Fucking better play Where the Streets Have No Name. If they fuck this up and play something else, I'm going to be so pissed. That seems like the easiest, like they have to play that, right? There's no chance.
Yeah. It seems like a slam dunk, right?
Yeah. But also making clinching t-shirts, I mean, not making clinching t-shirts seemed like a slam dunk too. And they did that anyway. So
That's true. I'm looking at the, man, that's bizarre. Talk about like how fucking ass the Canucks are.
Yeah.
Because I still have this pulled up. Let's see, 5, 10. the 15th best Canucks season ever.
Can I guess?
Yeah, go for it.
Was it like, was it the year they lost to Colorado? It was like 2001, I think.
No. 2001 was the 17th best season they've ever had.
So close, though. Okay. All right. Was it the year against Detroit? They were a bit better that year, I feel like.
Think more recently.
Oh, bro, was it? No, well, it wasn't the, wait a second. How recent are we talking? Because I know it wasn't the Benning year where they made the playoffs because they had over 100 points that year. So it wasn't that year, but more recently?
Yeah.
Was it like...
Bruce, there it is.
No, fucking, are you kidding me?
Yeah, yeah. 21-22, they had 92 points, which is best for, or just gets them 15th place all time for points in a season for the Canucks. They actually had the same winning percentage as 05-06, so the year before they brought in Luongo.
Oh.
And it's also tied, oh no, it's 2 points more than the Colorado season.
That's so fucking pathetic.
Isn't that crazy?
That sucks, man. I mean,
we were like talking about these as dark. Holy shit. No fucking way. In the shortened, the North Division year.
Yes.
That's their 14th best season of all time based on points percentage.
How is that possible? God, that's insane. I mean, I know the Benning era.
That blows.
They've been bad for most of their existence, and the Benning era, it's very funny. Like, till the bitter end, people were arguing, oh, no. The Messier era was worse, you know?
Nah.
It was so funny. Up until the very end, Jim Benning getting fired, it's so funny that people were still, like, going to bat for him in that way. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so crazy.
Man, I was getting worked up listening to the radio, and I went, like, I was going to start saying mean things on Twitter, and I held myself back.
Yeah.
But I was looking under the comments of a video from 650.
Yeah.
Saying this one fucking guy said that Alvin should be fired for the Lindholm trade because it's such a disaster. And it's like,
what?
You fucking idiot. They're first in their division. They have a puncher's chance at winning the President's Trophy, and you want to fire the GM because they lost fucking Yanni Yermo in a fourth-round pick and Hunter Brustevich?
That's one of the guys who was there for the Fire Gillis rally. Those guys, I blame those guys. I specifically, the picture of those fucking losers outside Rogers Arena, Fire Gillis, like, those guys, I fucking personally put the blame on them for the past decade of Canucks hockey. Like, literally, it is their fault. I would love to know who those guys are. I bet you they're in the fucking Larshiders, if I had to guess. But, like,
dude,
those guys are, I 100% put the blame of the last decade of just misery, it's their fault.
I completely forgot about that, but it also just gave me another suppressed memory, which was the Free Bertuzzi rallies.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Remember that? That was people going out there with their signs protesting.
Yeah, that was
sticking it to the man.
That was something. That was certainly something.
Well, I guess it's good. Like, they have their teams back, but hindsight being 2020, maybe not the best look.
Yeah, I mean, I think with in retrospect, I think we can say Todd Bertuzzi was wrong there.
Yeah,
I think we can say that now.
You should have elbowed Naslin, man.
Well, that is true, actually. Yeah, that's a good point.
A couple other tidbits from Drance today.
Yeah.
Apparently, the team is very happy with how Demko's coming along.
That's
and
very
they actually
good.
Think that this rest is going to be an ace in the hole, and there's no concerns about him fucking over. So make of that what you will. I guess they're less confident about Lindholm.
Okay.
Kind of odd because he's making the trip, but I guess it's still up in the air. My guess would be that it's a swelling thing of some type.
Yeah.
And I mean, why risk it now, right? Like, as long as he's back for game one of the playoffs, I'm down. It'd be good to figure out the line combos before then.
Yeah. But I think that's definitely true. Yeah.
I liked the lines last night, man. The JT with Joshua and Garland, and then Besser with Pettersson and Hoglander. Like, I don't know. You'd think that Pettersson-Besser is like this tested pairing that works, but in the game last night, I was like kind of so-so on it. Mm-hmm. And I guess they had that same on the Thursday game against, who was that? LA?
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
so I thought it looked okay. Like, I know the underlyings, they were the best line for them against. I'll look for the Anaheim game as well, but it's the best line against LA by a fairly wide margin.
Yeah. I mean, the story yesterday.
Sorry, Dallas, not LA.
Right. The story yesterday is obviously Joshua. And it was funny seeing the Discord people, because, like, the general tenor in our Discord is, like, obviously he's, like, insanely good, right? Of course. Yeah. But can we afford to sign him to that expensive of a contract? You know what I mean? Yeah. And then he scores that goal and everyone's like, yep, yeah, yep, yeah, yep, sign him. Sign him right now. Fucking sign him right now.
Okay. So we did this with Hronik last week and I wanted to ask you this too.
Yeah.
What is the amount for Joshua where you start to get queasy?
Oh, man. I mean, honestly, anything above four, I would say. Which is, yeah, like, he's going to get that, like, certainly, right?
Yeah, like, that was the other tidbit from Drance as well, is that the Canucks, last year, there was a real big push around this time to, like, get guys signed now.
Yeah.
There isn't that this year. They feel very comfortable with the time that they're going to have after the season's over getting them done. But if someone wants to come in and say, you know, if they want to take a discount and get it done now, they're, like, more than happy to do that. Sure. But they're just as happy to wait, which makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, like, the amount where I'd be like, okay, that's probably fair. I'm like, I'm a little bit uneasy about it, but I'm accepting of it, would be like 4x4.
Yeah, I mean, that does have, I look, any deal with a player like Joshua has the potential to go wrong where it's like he's popping off in a contract year, but he also doesn't strike me as the type of guy to, like, stop playing once he gets a big contract. Like, He clearly is just, like, a good player who's developed very nicely and, like, fits with the team like a glove, right? I mean, that's,
yeah,
we've talked about the jersey I'm going to get because they made the playoffs, which obviously that's got to happen.
Yeah, you know, I was looking into that this weekend.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that out. Of course,
I really want the Sprite jersey that they lost in all the time.
I know.
But and I can find them with Hoglander. I can find them with Pedersen, Hughes, Besser. There's fucking no JT Miller ones except for the one that's being sold on eBay for like $900.
Yeah.
So if you have one of those that you want to sell me for less than that, significantly less than that, like say a third of that,
yeah,
please hit me up.
Yeah.
I might just get a number kit for my existing skate jersey. That seems almost like a cop out. There's also the older skate jersey, so I guess I could get the newer style skate jersey. I also don't have a white current Canucks jersey.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I wish there was a white skate jersey. I think that would be so nice.
Yeah, that'd be so dope.
That would be sick.
So at that point, maybe it's better to wait, but then I feel like I'm letting the fans down.
I know.
On my word.
I know. It's just like, I love the playoffs and everything, but it's like, why does it have to fall in the middle of fucking tax season? Come on now.
Oh yeah, that's like especially bad for us.
Well, self-employed.
I'm like only, you know, a little bit self-employed.
Yeah.
But
it sucks.
You got to do like it's not quarterly payments in Canada, right? It's like five a year or some shit.
It's quarterly. It was quarterly.
Is it quarterly?
Yeah. It's like quarterly installments. It's like March.
Yeah.
March, June, September, December. And the March one sucks because April is right after and there's a chance you might owe. And then December sucks because it's Christmas. I mean, look, I'm fine. I put money aside.
Is December
fine,
like the biggest payment for you as well?
Usually the last two payments are,
they're like
because they adjust it or whatever, so I do want to get the jersey, but I was thinking like, man, like a Joshua jersey would be sick, but part of it is like because the agreement originally was a Hronik jersey.
Yes.
And you're sort of locked in with the Miller one, which makes sense because he's with the team for a while, right?
He's the team forever. And like when we originally made it, it would be funny because like we were really wanting him to get moved.
Yes.
And now I'm like, I'm fine with it if he keeps playing like this. We'll deal with that
in
like 2027 or whatever.
Yeah.
So shout out to him for being that good this year.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Hronik, I'd love a Hronik jersey, but again, I'd like him to re-sign first, if possible.
Yes.
And then, I mean, Susie, I think, was the other option. And Joshua, I think, would be great. I would love a Joshua jersey. Don't get me wrong.
What about Garland?
Garland could be interesting, too. And he signed for a couple more years.
You don't see many Garland jerseys.
So,
yeah, he's here for a couple more years.
Yeah. Yeah, that could
And then
be.
There's like, there's kind of something funny about that too, with he is the poison fruit that came over in the Ekman-Larsen deal. So like
one of the last remaining a bit of people from like a Jim Benning trade, right? So
there's like a similar type of irony with like me getting a JT Miller jersey.
Yeah.
What I would ideally like to see for Joshua is a Tanner Jeannot style contract where he takes less, but for more term.
Yeah. What I wouldn't like to see is a Tanner Jeannot style result from him.
That's true. Yeah. Tanner Jeannot still does a lot of hits in fantasy hockey. Oh, yeah.
Speaking of fantasy and hits, the screen grab you posted from your league is so funny. I know it's just like, it's like a one-off year and it's playoffs and like you have hits as a, it's like rotisserie, right? So it's like leading categories, right?
So okay, let's get into my fantasy hockey day yesterday.
This was incredible. The screen grab you posted was just like out of context. This is so fucking funny.
So I'm in like five leagues this year.
Yeah.
And one's a rotisserie where you just kind of set it and forget it. There's our keeper league, which I've learned it's harder to, well, one, I'm never on Fantrax because all my other leagues are Yahoo.
Yeah.
But when you're co-managing, like, doing like streaming add and drops with like another guy there. Like, we're not texting to figure out what to do. We're just kind of just setting the lineup for the week.
We were both setting the lineup and both sort of making, like, unless there was a major change, I think we were kind of just doing it ourselves. And obviously,
I think like you did every add and drop.
Yeah. This year is a bit of a write off, but that's okay. You know?
Yeah. We were tanking.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so then I'm in like three head to head leagues. One I've been in forever with like guys that I used to work with and like their friends and shit.
Sure.
And then one, like, my friend from like second grade, like a childhood buddy, he was putting together a league and I was like, yeah, sure, I'll join it too. I brought in like my father-in-law.
Hell yeah.
Cause he's like a big fantasy guy. And then there's one that he runs as well, which is like a lot of people from like my girlfriend's family and like his chiropractor and whatever else. And that's the league that I focus on the most because it requires the most attention. It's 16 teams. So you have to like work a lot more around the margins, finding value.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like, my partner's family and stuff, right? So I want to like show that I know my shit.
Yeah.
And so I was in semifinals in that league.
Okay.
My girlfriend had already qualified for finals.
Okay.
And this was like her first year playing fantasy. And we like drafted together. She was like sat behind me and I was like, you should pick this guy now, right? She got really lucky and got to draft me David too. But I really wanted like our household to be in the finals because one, we're going to get more money. And two, it's really vindicating for me that both teams I drafted are in the finals. But I was down by like late on Saturday night. I was down by two, really hard to get back.
Yeah.
And then Adam Larson elbowed a guy in the head, got a game misconduct, wins me pims.
Hell
my opponent wasn't playing any games.
Yeah.
And then yesterday I needed Hoglander, Joshua, Zadorov, Mason McTavish, and Quinn Hughes to get a combined two goals or three power points.
Oh, you're good. You're golden.
Or be a plus five.
Now, Zadorov didn't play,
so I was like already kind of like, ugh. Then Quinn Hughes gets a power play assist. I'm like, fuck yeah, let's go. And then Dakota Joshua gets a power play goal, and I'm like, one more goal or one more assist. Let's fucking do it. But then it's like the third period, and like I thought Quinn Hughes and Dakota Joshua and Hoglander and McTavish can score, but it's not like they're 40 goal guys, right?
Yeah.
And so I thought my route was going to be one more power play point, but you don't know how many more power plays are getting called, right? So anytime, you know, there's a power play, I'm like, please. I was like counting how many passes after each time fucking Quinn Hughes got it. And then Hoglander hits a post.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, fuck me. No, that was like my best chance. No, it's all over. And then Mason McTavish scores. And like, I should be upset because I want the Canucks to win, obviously. But I'm like on my couch, like fucking cheering. I'm running around the house, making sure, like going to my computer. Like, I have the tiebreaker. And then Dakota Joshua scored. And like, again, which completely sealed it. And I did have the tiebreaker. So I am in the finals in that league.
Hell yeah.
But the screenshot you're talking about is in my other head to head.
It's so funny, dude.
Hits were close. And so my opponent dropped Matt Barzal for Noah Juulsen.
God, that's so fucking funny. And
I don't know. I should actually just go look here. He also picked up Sam Lafferty.
Okay.
Who got seven hits and I lost by a hit. So his strategy worked dropping Matt Barzal.
Yeah.
So it looks like I'm the asshole. But good times. Like, you know, I got a good chance to win like at least a league.
Yeah.
But my girlfriend was saying that we should just like, we should see who like, and try and lose and see who like, just do it that way. Cause who cares? Cause we're both in the finals. I'm like, babe, I've been playing fantasy hockey since 2002. I've won 3 league titles in that time span, usually doing multiple leagues. This is like Vegas getting to the finals in the first year. You do not want to waste this.
Yeah. Absolutely. We did this on Real Good Show for a couple seasons where we did like, I think we called it the Lucas Pisa League.
Yes.
And I don't know if you remember this, but it was like trying.
I remember.
And this could be kind of fun to do next year. But essentially what it is you are trying to draft the worst team possible. But the challenge is you have to draft guys who still play. So
yeah, see, there's like a minimum amount of games played, right?
Yeah, so you have to basically draft like fourth line guys. And that kind of is the challenge. And it's so much fun. It's so good. Because I think like having like, we had plus minus on for it, I think. And it was like, if you had like a negative plus minus, like negative was really good. If you get a minus, that's really good. It was so much fun. It was really
good.
Did you
do that rotisserie style or was it head to head still?
I think it was rotisserie style.
That makes the most sense, right?
Because you've got all the different categories and stuff. Yeah. But it was really fun. Yeah.
Speaking of games, I did get some guys to remember.
Oh, yes.
If you want to play some guys.
Why don't we do that? Yeah.
Introduced this game on the last Patreon episode, patreon.com/IHateThisTeam. Basically what it is, I've got a few players that I've picked out here. I'm going to give Stefan some clues, and he has to try and remember who they are.
Okay.
And today, there's a bit of a special theme. So the Canucks, we didn't talk about it yet, but they had their, like, fan-voted player awards.
Oh, right. Okay.
And
have they announced those yet or has the voting started?
It's like the voting started like yesterday or today or something like that. It's like MVP, which obviously Quinn Hughes, defenseman, obviously Quinn Hughes.
Yeah.
Most exciting player, probably JT Miller.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I think will probably win. Yeah. Like, and
I
then,
mean, Hughes was maybe more exciting, but it's, I don't know. It's
yeah, but like, I'd be down for a clean sweep of Hughes. And then Unsung Hero, which honestly could also be Quinn Hughes because he's that good.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of debate. That's probably the most interesting one to debate. Dakota Joshua won last year.
Yeah.
Which is funny because he was like the first name that jumped to mind for me. I think probably Garland and Hoglander would be my other picks.
Yeah. It's the Unsung Hero one is interesting because it's kind of basically like guy you expected to suck who was good. A lot of the time. And it's kind of like the same for like voting coach of the year in the NHL as a whole. Which is why Tocchet will probably win.
I don't have any time for maybe the Tortorella argument, but I think the way that he's bungled the Couturier situation, etc., like how they've kind of fizzled out. But like, we were expecting them to be a lottery team in there in the playoffs. And then last year, the Canucks were on the low end of a lottery team or like a presumptive division winner.
I think
I think
that's Nashville,
a bigger,
you know,
bigger accomplishment.
Carberry for Washington maybe. But again, like I think Vancouver's clearly the, if you're looking for,
I think they've
a typical
taken like
coach
the biggest like step. And the fact that so much of that has just come from, like straight up coaching, right?
Yes.
Like they went from super porous defensive last year where you're always seeing screenshots on Twitter of guys falling over each other. And it's like, how are the defensemen there? To now being like one of the best premier defensive teams in the league at 5-on-5 at least. So yeah, there's a couple that I've picked out here. There's a fourth one that's like really hard, kind of nightmare mode if there's time. But the first two are both winners of the Fred J. Hume Award for Unsung Heroes.
Okay.
So the first person won it twice.
Yannick Hansen?
No. Yannick Hansen's actually won it 3 times.
Oh my God.
shit, at a certain point, you're getting pretty sung.
How long have they been doing these team awards for? Has it been a long
time? Like a long time.
Okay,
Since the team's been there.
Wow. Okay.
The
but
first
I mean,
one was
I wonder,
Barry Wilkins in 1970.
So I wonder who I think scored the first goal in team history. I want to say, I guess like, has it always been fan voted though, or is it?
Don't know if it's always been fan voted. Like, I don't know how you would have done it pre-internet, but prior to being decided by a fan vote, the award was decided by the on by the Vancouver Canucks Booster Club before the organization dissolved in the 2000s.
Interesting.
Was that the one that you'd sign up for at like
I think so, at
Safeway
the
or whatever?
I think so. The other one,
the fan club.
Do you remember going to games and voting for All-Stars on like a actual like paper ballot that you could submit?
Well, no,
because
I didn't live in Vancouver. I was like Northern BC, right?
So you wouldn't have gone. Yeah, I remember going around like January, February, and you could like. They were handing out like ballots and you could fill them in yourself and then put them in a little box. It was so much fun.
That's crazy. Yeah. Like that club, that fan club thing that you signed up for at the grocery store.
Yes.
I got a signed Pavel Bure card in the mail and it was like my prized possession. I might still have it kicking around somewhere. And it wasn't even like a hockey card. It was like twice the size of one. So yeah, this player won Unsung Hero for the Canucks
twice.
In 2014, 2015,
okay.
And 2017, 2018.
Ooh.
So 27, 2018, they were 19th in scoring for the Canucks.
Okay.
Only appeared in 20 games, which is kind of weird. You'd think a prerequisite to winning this award would be playing more than a quarter of the season.
Correct.
It registered 7 goals and 2 assists.
Okay.
That year they had a 38% Corsi four.
Oh Jesus. This is 14-15 or 17-18?
This is 17-18.
That was a bad 14-15 year.
They had a 42% Corsi four.
Okay. And sorry, they had 2 goals, 7 assists, or
7 goals, 2 assists.
7 goals, 2 assists. That's so okay. 7 goals, 2 assists in 17-18.
Yeah.
And they won Unsung Hero. And they also won it in 14-15.
In 14-15.
What were their stats in 14-15?
Let me pull that up. So they played all 79 games that year.
Okay.
7 goals, 18 assists.
7 goals, 18 assists.
Which, let's find out where that ranked on the team.
God. No, because he wasn't on the team then.
11th in the team.
It wasn't Granlund, was it?
No. Okay. Tied for points with Bo Horvat that year in Bo Horvat's rookie season.
Boy. Okay. That was Benning. 14-15 was Benning's first year.
Yeah. One more point than Lyndon Vay.
One more. Oh, Jesus. Lyndon Vay.
There's another one. Eh?
Oh, Derek Brassette?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, God. Fuck.
Okay. We're going to go a little bit further back here.
Okay.
2008-2009.
Okay.
This player played 81 games, 32 points, which was good for 8th. So that was, they slightly outscored Matt Sundin, but played basically double the games.
Okay. 08-09.
Outscored Kyle Wellwood, though. So okay. It's not Wellwood.
Okay.
Let's see. Right winger.
Okay. Steve Bernier?
Yep.
Fuck yeah.
Nice.
Hell yeah. Oh, that's really bad that I got that fast.
Yeah, no, that was impressive. We might have time for my nightmare mode one.
Okay.
So this one's also kind of nightmare mode. I think particularly just cause from like the season that it's from.
Sure.
11th in team scoring in
2017-2018. Okay.
This player has played for 8 different franchises in the NHL. Retired last year.
This is 17-18?
Yes.
And how many points did he have?
And sorry, that's points per game. Where the hell?
Retired last year.
I guess I'll just go here. 22 points.
17-18. Played for 8 teams.
Yes.
Retired last year. Holy shit.
Yes.
Okay.
They most recently played for Ottawa. Before that, Columbus. Before that, Anaheim. Before that, St. Louis. And also Anaheim that same year.
Oh, man. Anaheim, St. Louis, Columbus, Ottawa. So an older guy who's retired recently.
Yeah.
Who kind of sucks. What position?
Defense.
I was going to say
they were the October 2009 Rookie of the Month.
Wow. Okay. 17, 18. Boy, this is okay. I gotta think here. Oh man.
See if I can't find another hint here.
This is tough.
Drafted in the first round.
Okay, and they're rookie of the month. Oh, Michael Delzato?
Yep.
Fuck.
Isn't that crazy that they're 11th in team scoring?
That's nuts, dude. Holy shit.
One less point than Louis Erickson.
God. That's so bad.
Played 32 more games, though.
Yeah. Fuck. I think I'm doing pretty good here.
You're killing it. Yeah, so I'm going to pull up the page for my nightmare mode one.
Okay.
So
Bernier, my other guess was going to be Pyatt, by the way, who I think sort of fits the same description.
With his dreamy fucking eyes.
Oh my God, yeah.
Okay, so this player won Unsung Hero for the 2001-2002 season. They did not score a lot. They had 11 points in 81 games.
Okay.
Plus 11.
Okay.
50 penalty minutes.
Okay.
Defenseman.
Was this Murray Barron?
No. Though Murray Barron has also won the award, I think, the year prior.
Barron seems like that type of guy. Okay, 0-1-0-2. Defenseman, 11 points.
Let's see. Drafted first overall, or not first overall.
First
drafted
round?
First round, fourth overall in 1991.
Oh, Brian Allen? No, 91?
No.
Oh, okay.
91, yeah.
By
the Islanders.
By the Islanders. Greg Haugood?
No.
Scott Lachance?
Yes.
Fuck. His son, I think, is playing college hockey now. I feel like I saw Lachance playing yesterday.
Is he coaching?
Maybe. Scott Lachance's son. Shane Lachance, I think, plays for Boston University. Yeah. And he got drafted by Edmonton. Yeah.
Ooh.
Scott Lachance. Yeah. Oh, he's a scout for the Devils right now.
Okay. Well, it's probably not anything I heard of, but it's a safe enough bet to think that a former NHL player is
fourth overall pick. Holy shit. I mean, he had a long career. He played 800 games and obviously wasn't a guy who scores, you know, but.
No, especially like in that era too, like you definitely didn't have to.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny looking at like the player comps, like the similarities here.
Yeah.
Aaron Ward, who is a remember this guy from last episode.
Yes. Or Aaron
Miller.
He's
up there. Never mind. This is why you're doing the guessing and I'm doing the picking because I confused it. I just saw Aaron. I'm like, oh, it's the same guy, which ironic, right? Brian Allen.
Yeah. Brian.
Corey Sarich.
Yeah. Allen, I think, was fourth overall, I want to say, to the Canucks.
Yeah, by the Canucks. Yeah,
traded in the Luongo deal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, they're still playing in 2015.
Allen's whole thing was that I think he had a really bad injury. I want to say, or maybe a couple really bad injuries.
Yeah,
he was a classic like Canucks draft pick.
Yes,
but yeah, after okay, yeah, he had they don't say what it is in the Wikipedia, but he missed the entire 99-2000 campaign following surgery. He was playing in the OHL at that point, but he missed a lot of games as well. So he was drafted in 98, fourth overall. And then after being drafted, missed a bunch of time the following year and then like the entire season the year after.
And it was like a crazy injury as well, right? Like wasn't it his eye? Or something like that.
I know
that.
Oland had the eye injury.
Oland had the eye, yeah.
Let me see what his injury was.
Knee injury.
Yeah.
Grade 1 sprain of his MCL.
He had 7 surgeries on his left knee throughout his career.
Jesus
Christ.
This
was in 2010, so it might have been more, but.
It is weird, like a player like Allen, right? Like,
yeah.
I remember, you know, playing NHL games or whatever, so you get a real good sense of the Canucks farm system.
Yeah.
Even though there's no way I was watching a Manitoba Moose game back then.
Correct.
So I was expecting him to be something.
Yeah.
But he, 6 games in 2001.
Yeah.
Then 11 games, 48 games in 02-03, like when they lost to Minnesota. Then he had 2 more full seasons with the Canucks. But it felt like, I guess, because at that point that was like, you know, not half my life, but a third of my life, right?
Yeah.
Like he was just always a Canuck. And then looking back and I was like, oh damn, you only played 5 seasons for them.
Yeah.
Really, man. 2.5.
Wow. Okay. So I'm 4 for 4. I'm pretty proud of myself. That's good.
You smoked it today. I guess that's the other thing too. I guess we'll put a footnote at the end. DPD and Lekar Mackey.
Did you see that hit?
Oh, so cool. I'm like psyched on DPD now. Like, just from like,
he's a big dude and he is just like, he's in the AHL, his like first game, and he's just like destroying guys already.
Yeah. Scott Connington, the coach down in Abbotsford.
Yeah.
He was on Halford and Brough this morning and was really happy with how he played and said like, yeah, it was probably a late hit, but like usually with these young guys that come in here, you're like worried about how they're going to do. And he was immediately in the game and he wanted to go out there and make his presence known. So like the opposing team, the Colorado Eagles, better know when he's on the ice. And Colorado Eagles, I believe, are first in the division right now.
Yeah. And they were the team, they have Keaton Middleton, who is the guy who hurt Pod Colson earlier in the year. So I think there's been some bad blood there for a little bit.
I guess they're also like an older team, right? Like they're much older than the Canucks. They have a lot of those like quad A guys that can be like easy call ups, etc. Okay, they're not actually at the top. I was lied to on the radio today. By points percentage, they're second in the division behind Coachella Valley.
Okay,
Canucks are seventh.
All right,
they're 3 points behind them. So that's a big couple of points that they got. Because is it top six gets home games in the playoffs?
Feels right. I'm going to look, I mean, I think I'm still going to watch, obviously, but at the same time, it's like, it's really nice that I don't have to go into the playoffs this year being like, man, I can't wait for the AHL playoffs.
Yeah. Oh God. It's very refreshing.
Boy.
Good times.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear it for Canucks for clinching a playoff spot.
Go Canucks, go.
Let's hear it for Stefan and for remembering some guys very well.
That's right.
And, yeah, go Canucks, go, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Peace. Did somebody say just ring-ding-dong? Ring-a-ding-sing, they say just ring-ding-dong. Ring-a-ding-sing, they say just ring. Want my curry in a hurry? Exercise some of the low. And I want a sahi. Ordering delivery, a little sushi while I watch a movie, or buy a salad while I sing a ballad. Need some ice cream, make it a swirl. Gotta treat this California girl. When you're running low, there's only one place to go. 'Cause I get what I want when I want it. Margarita with extra cheese on. Somebody say just